Direct from Studio D Chevalier in Colorado Springs, Colorado, I'm Derek Knight from sonofcheese.com. You're listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. With us, as always, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Hello, everyone.
Other guests in the room include my sister, Heather, from Added Spam.
Hello.
My wife, Heather.
Hello.
And we do have a special guest on the phone, and you might know her if you've listened to some of my audio entries on the audio archive, the Son of Cheese audio archive. So a quick introduction before we actually introduce her live on the phone. Here's Kathy Heppel.
My parole officer and I both blame eChaos.com for my predicament. I needed another enabler like I needed a hole in the head. Of course, that's exactly what I gave him.
I was just 15 when I had my first big-ass hot dog experience. When I saw it, I thought I'd surely choke on all that meat. Surprisingly, it went down so easily. Now I can cram two, even three down my throat with no problem.
Hi, Colorado! Value hoes.
That's right. Kathy Heppel was an original value hoe and also a fine, fine voice actress for my stupid little parody commercials. Welcome to the show, Kathy Heppel.
Hey, thanks. I am glad to be on.
And your name, what? Kathy Gill Heppel. Kathy Gill, we'll call you today.
That's fine.
Yeah, your real last name and your maiden name was Grill, but one of the vendors here in town screwed that up on a Post-it note, called her Kathy Gill.
Yeah,
and it stuck for some strange reason.
Yeah, it really did, and you know, hey, whatever, but, whatever.
Yeah. Kathy's a graphic artist, worked with Colin and I at the agency where we work. Her husband, Chad, served our country proudly in Iraq, and Chad will kick your ass. Nobody kicks your ass like Frank Heppel. He's a huge man and intimidated how many little Iraqis when he was over in the Middle East?
You know, we could tell you, but then we'd have to kill you.
You're right. But your husband also had a pretty extensive books on tape career, didn't he?
You know, well, we only have one piece of evidence of that, and I still have it floating around somewhere. It's a Western, just a couple of those. But when asked about it, he typically will choose not to answer.
Some people don't like to talk about the war. He doesn't like to talk about when he read books on tape.
He was young and poor. You know, he needed the money.
Young and needed the money. So you and your husband now live in the Washington, D.C. area. What's that like?
That's correct. It's, you know something? It's beautiful, and there is so much to see out here. It took a little getting used to, though. I thought that with all the mental preparation that we had given ourselves, and it was a pretty long process moving out here. Just his term of service was ending, and this had been a long-term goal to move out here. And when we got here, it was great. Buying the house was pretty quick, but the traffic out here was just a complete slap in the face. It is traffic like none other, and it sounds like a stupid thing, but it really took all the joy out of moving here.
Well, and you had a pretty extensive cross-country moving odyssey, didn't you? You just recently got your dog back. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. He was getting fat and happy up in Cleona, Pennsylvania. And, my mom and dad live in Lebanon County. It's the home of Lebanon Bologna, and we didn't have a
Lebanon Bologna.
Yeah, I know. It's our one stroke of fame, you know. But they agreed to take him in because we didn't have a full enclosure fence in the new house, and it took some doing to get it up, and we finally did. And my dad, who's retired, got so attached to the dog that it was kind of a wrestling match to get our dog back. So we had to pay him off with fancy steaks and all kinds of groceries. We pretty much bought him back.
So instead of grandkids, he's just attached to your grand dog.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and I hear that your dog learned all kinds of bad new habits, and you're having to retrain the dog, and it's not happy.
Yeah, pretty much. He's really not too thrilled to be here right now. I think we're in our third week of him being home, and he's really missing Grandpa. I mean, when we're getting up and getting ready to go to work in the morning, I mean, typically Chad is out for your normal work day, maybe 9-10 hours. I, however, usually have a longer commute than he does, and I'm usually out for 11 or 12 hours. And so when we're getting ready to go, this dog just gives us this look like, I can't believe you are leaving me alone again. It has the skill of just looking so pathetic whenever he wants to, but Mom and Dad, my mom and dad, had him really hooked to this little routine where he would get this fried egg at a certain time during the day, followed by peanut butter toast, and of course it was
Did this dog end up with just horrible, horrible gas? Because that doesn't sound good.
Well, you know what? I wasn't there. Maybe he did. they have a big
yard.
But it'd
be their own damn fault.
Well, pretty much, yeah. And you know what? We're not giving the dog any... I mean, heck, we don't have time for fried eggs and peanut butter toast in the morning, so we're
sure.
not going to make
it's
it.
It's just dry kibble for you, dog.
And then pretty much for us, too. But, yeah, he's adjusting, and he's getting a little happier.
Yeah.
A little.
Back to the whole cross-country moving odyssey. You started in the bustling metropolis that is Fountain, Colorado. How many trips over the road did you have to make from Fountain, the godforsaken hellhole of Fountain, all the way to the D.C. area?
I actually drove it twice.
Twice.
I was out there.
And that's like 14 hours each way, right?
Well, actually...
That would be more like 28 hours.
Yeah.
I believe I made it in like 25, I want to say. Chad drove out the first time, and that's when we came out here initially to find a house, and I took about 2 weeks out here with him, and he was living with a friend of his, I mean, literally on his sofa for weeks and weeks and weeks, and this family is, they've known Chad for a long time, and they are exceptionally generous, and we're out, just on family vacation, and so they were nice enough to let us basically have run of their household while we were trying to find our own. And so we found a house, and I flew back to Colorado and was still working here and there and just trying to coordinate all the details with the Army, and eventually drove out myself. We had taken the dog out to Pennsylvania that first trip out, so it was just me driving back out there that last time. And it was, you know what, I think I benefited from the alone time. I really didn't mind it very much. And there was only one scary moment, too. That first day, it took about 3 days, three full days. And the first day, there was a great big storm going through Kansas, because this is the storm season. I mean, it's early August in Colorado, out on the plains.
And God hates Kansas, yeah. And it tries to destroy it every year.
Pretty much. And I was trying to just get to this first hotel I was staying at, and apparently there was a storm down the ways, down Route 70, and a tractor trailer had overturned, and apparently there was some big chemical spill blocking both lanes of the interstate, and the state cops had directed us off the road, and just all of a sudden everybody just kind of disappeared. They were waving us in one particular direction, and then all of a sudden there were no more people waving you, telling you where to go, and I'm just looking around going, oh, shit, now I don't know where I'm going. Well, I was pretty sure I was going in the wrong direction.
As long as you're going east, though, you should be okay. You should find where you're going eventually, right?
Yeah, that was the thing, though. I don't think I was going east anymore.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know where I was going. And there was just nothing out there. I mean, no cell phone service, not a sign on the road, nothing.
Any banjos playing or anything?
Had a little kid on a porch.
Well, everybody was inside because it was raining outside. It was a real nasty, nasty day. So, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of turned on them instincts and turned around and kind of made my way back to the accident scene and started over. And it turned out that I could have just followed that same road that I was on the whole time and it would have been fine. But it took me just doing it twice, I guess, to kind of get my bearings. But
that sucks.
Yeah, that, you know, the only time that I was really, really upset was it was in the last 15 minutes, the final minutes of this trip, and I got into the development where I now live, and it is such a maze, I couldn't find my own house.
Really?
And I was so tired and so just, you know, you've been driving for 3 days, been doing nothing but driving. And, you know, I'm just off the beltway traffic at rush hour. It's a Friday, and I don't know where I'm going. And so I'm just bawling my eyes out going, I don't know where my house is.
You pansy.
And it took a little circle around. Of course, I just didn't want to bite the bullet and pick up the phone and call my husband and
admit that you were lost.
My own stupid
yeah, and find out you're like three blocks away or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or find out you're sitting right in front of it.
Yeah.
Which would be better.
Well, a couple weeks later, I backtracked and tried to find out where I had been, and it turns out that I was just on the other side of the block.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's really pretty amazing. It's amazing back here. But
so, Kathy, tell us about the housing market in D.C.
Well, I my first piece of advice would be don't buy a house here.
Spoken like a homeowner in D.C.
Yeah. And here's
we don't need
why.
You here.
Here's why. This is our first house. It's a starter home. Okay, nothing spectacular. And just because of the way our credit scores worked out, it was advantageous for my name only to be on the mortgage. This is a $500,000 mortgage.
Really?
God.
I'm sitting in
$500,000.
Because I'm sitting in Maison de Chevalier, our starter house here in Colorado Springs, and we bought this for what, $157,500?
Mm-hmm.
$157,500. That's a starter home around here. So $500,000 gets you a starter home in the D.C.
Yeah.
area.
Jeez. $500,000. Yeah, and you pull up to the curb. I mean, it's a decent house. It's nothing special. It certainly doesn't look like a $500,000 home. And here's the bitch of it. We went down to South Carolina to see my husband's mom for Thanksgiving. And he has some other family living down there, and some of them are just loaded. And we went over to their house for dinner, and we roll up to this. It was like a house that you see in the Pier 1 catalogs, and they've only been in this.
I didn't know Pier 1 sold houses, but.
You know what I mean.
It's toward the back of the catalog.
I know what you mean. I know.
And it turns out, just in conversation, they were still in kind of home buying mode, too. They hadn't been there for more than a year or two. And they had mentioned how much they paid for it, and it was about half of what our stupid little house cost.
That's right. Yeah. There are places in the U.S. where you can buy mansions.
Mansions.
Uh-huh. I mean, you could live on a sprawling lot of 40 acres and have animals for that $500,000 that you poor, poor fools paid for your starter.
Oh, I know. But you know what? It's really kind of unique around here because the ground that the house is built on is probably worth more than the home itself.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing. I mean, out there, what's it like living amongst the... Actually, Colin, here, you ask this question. Get you involved. What's it like living amongst the history in our nation's capital?
What's it like living in the history of our nation's capital?
Living amongst the history.
Fuck you.
Leave that in.
That's exactly what it's like.
What's it like living amongst the history of our nation's capital?
You know what, Colin? It's awesome. It is really awesome because you don't realize how close you are to all the really iconic landmarks around here until you just get in the car and drive for 10 minutes, and down the road you can see the Washington Monument sticking up. It's really gratifying sometimes, especially at certain times of the day and certain times of the year. Around dusk is a particularly pretty time to go down there driving around because just everything's made of like a warm-colored cement or sandstone or marble, and everything just takes on this real gold cast to it. It's beautiful, overwhelming, and we've managed to see not as much as we would like, but a handful of some of the more touristy type stuff. We've seen the Washington Memorial many times, and the Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln memorials a few times, and we managed to do the Freedom Walk.
Right.
I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Freedom Walk.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of it.
I have.
Yeah, it's the thing on September 11th to commemorate the planes going down into the Pentagon, and a lot of big cities do this, but here was particularly moving because they had the honor guard from all four branches of the military lead this walk. It was from the Washington Memorial to the Pentagon, to the site of where the plane smashed into the Pentagon, which is a little over 2 miles. And this route took you past the White House. It took you past the nation's capital, just all this different stuff that you only see on the nightly news and in movies and stuff, and you're walking right past it, and it's amazing. It is really amazing. And you can also see some of the old canal locks. You were asking about history. Before the highway system or even the roads were instituted, or you know, before even paved roads or even gravel roads, they had a pretty elaborate canal system around the city proper. And while there's water and stuff in there, they're certainly not working anymore. They have a couple of the old lock houses that you can go up and you can walk around in them and see them if you want. And it's amazing.
Well, awesome.
It's just amazing. Yeah.
So do you party much out there?
Not yet. We've done a little bit. I mean, we had a date night last night where we went and saw the new James Bond flick, if that's what you consider partying.
I was thinking like waking up naked in Abe's lap with a sheep or something.
No, I left those days behind me in Colorado. Oh, Colin, I'm sorry.
Waking up on the top of Pike's Peak naked with a sheep. With a sheep. But one of the things that when Kathy was in town here, one of the things that we did was we went on regular sushi runs. Myself, Colin, Kathy, and another one of our coworkers, Ray, all ate at the big sushi places. There was Konami here in town, and also, what is it, Sakura? Sakaya? I can never remember
how.
Sakura over on West Colorado. And I'm sure, Kathy, that you have had some sushi since you have been out in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
So speaking of the sushi, it's now time for the Sushi Report, D.C. edition with your host, Kathy Gilhapple.
That's awesome. Well, I am happy to report we have two good sites for sushi. One is in Bethesda, Maryland, which is just a stone's throw away from D.C. City proper, and it's kind of a scaled-down, less crowded version of D.C., and the place is called Matuba. And I have heard that people come far and wide to eat at this place. This is, in fact, the place where we ate dinner last night, and while it gets rave reviews for particularly its sashimi, because we're a waterfront community here, believe it or not, or more or less, we get extravagantly fresh seafood all the time, all kinds, anything you want. They have a pretty slim menu, that being said. Last night we had a lot of tempura. We had lobster and shrimp and all the regular stuff, and it was pretty good, although a little bit overpriced, competitive to what we're used to out in Colorado. Put it that way.
Yeah.
And then there is another place, and this place is deep in D.C., and this is as D.C. as it gets. In fact, it's in a little – D.C. is separated into different parts of town, okay? There's Capitol Hill, and there's a place called Adams Morgan, which is where all the granola-eating hippie folks go. This is kind of like the like the artsy-fartsy part of town, the Rainbow District, if you will. And but that's where all the good restaurants are, so, and the clubs, by the way. So if I wanted to go partying and waking up with sheep, that's where we would go. That's
Club
where
Bouton.
We would go. Well, there is a place there called Perry's, and long ago when my husband, before he was my husband, he really wanted to impress me with some really awesome sushi, and so from Pennsylvania we drove down to Perry's, and it is probably some of the best sushi in D.C. However, fast forward 5 years, we went back there for our anniversary dinner. We just had a fourth anniversary.
So obviously this story has a happy ending because he impressed you enough that you married him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so fast forwarding to the anniversary dinner.
Well, instead of really concentrating on really, really good sushi, it wasn't so much sushi anymore. I was really kind of disappointed. The first thing that they did when we sat down is gave us this wild boar sausage little appetizer thing. It was like sausage on a cracker.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, wild
like,
boar is
like
tasty.
On a Ritz cracker.
But it's not sushi.
Yeah, I'll have the wild boar sushi, please.
Well, you got to put it in context, though. I mean, this is the place where 5 years ago I had this piece of, I think it was baby shark or it was baby something, and it's
like shark veal.
It was like eating a stick of butter. It was awesome. You know, seafood that tastes like butter. I'll
just
take
like
it.
Butter.
Yeah. So they're giving us wild boar this time, and it was okay. But the thing about Perry's is, here's what makes it unique. On Sundays, they have a drag brunch.
a drag brunch, like drag racing, or
no,
drag queens,
dress and drag.
Like where all the all the people that take advantage of Adams Morgan being the Rainbow District get dressed up in the opposite sex's clothing and I think have a little parade down the street.
Nice.
That ends at this place, and then everybody eats brunch.
I see. And have you and your husband participated in the drag brunch yet, or is that on the menu?
No. One of these days, I think we're probably going to try it, but just because he's such a big guy.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing.
He stands out in a crowd. Yeah. We know that the day we go, they're going to all pick on him.
Sure, because it's going to be really hard to... I mean, he's not going to make a very attractive girl, I don't think.
Well, he has a nice, soft face.
No. We wouldn't dress in drag. The people who want
didn't,
to dress
Didn't he learn
drag.
Anything about camouflage while he was in the military? can he just kind of, like,
blend in?
And then jump out.
He could just be a very tall Asian person.
Oh, you know, I always carry around plenty of lipstick, just in case.
Yeah, that's true.
if you do ever get him in drag, we want pictures.
That's right. We want, video even. I mean, we have to.
We can
take
stills from a video.
Right, and then we can post it on our respective websites.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind. And, you know, I'm not too sure when this is going to happen, but it is in the cards to happen at some point. I'm going to make it a goal, first half of 2007.
Remember what you said earlier, that, you know, Chad Heppel could kick anyone's ass? So when you post it on your blog, he might
Chad
have
Heppel
to come
will
back
kick
to
your ass. But
Colorado.
He would have to actually come to Colorado or, of course, I mean, we do plan on going to visit these two in the D.C. area. So I guess I should probably mind my P's and Q's.
All right.
There are a few people. That's awesome. There are a few people in the world that I'm afraid of, but I think Chad might be able to kick my ass.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of him too sometimes.
That's a healthy fear.
So does he blend
into the wallpaper in your new house and jump out at you?
No, we have this unfinished crawl space that he can't stand up in, and if I have to hide, that's where I go.
You can't get me
hiding from Chad.
What? Oh, and by the way, you know, I was listening to all the spooky casts a while ago for Halloween, and while I don't see dead people like you do and your dad does, I'm pretty sure that this house is ghost-free.
Oh, yeah?
At least I think.
Nothing bad has happened yet?
No.
Well, and that is actually in an area like Washington, D.C., and at least probably up and down the entire eastern seaboard, you would probably be guaranteed, you know, 5 out of 7 houses might be haunted.
They very well might be, but...
I mean, you can advertise that. You can advertise it like that. 5 out of 7 may be haunted. And, is yours? Find out.
And you know what? Even if mine is, I'm just too ignorant most of the time to be able to even notice, and too busy, too. Even if there was a ghost floating over my bed in the middle of the night, I'm usually too tired.
You've got stuff
to do.
You know, you can't be bothered. I've got deadlines. I can't be bothered with the supernatural. The dead walk? Sorry, I got to make this deadline.
Pretty much, yeah.
I've got clients breathing down my neck. I just can't deal.
Your breath?
Yeah.
Doesn't bother
me. Yeah, get out
of here. It's the clients that I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, we won't name names, but I ain't afraid of new clients.
Screw them.
That's right.
They fear me, damn it.
Now you've been picking up some business since moving back to D.C. Obviously, now how did you accomplish moving to a new place? It's not a completely new place for you. Obviously, you were familiar with that part of the country, but how do you go to a new place and start picking up business like day one?
Well, you have to have a game plan before you get here, and I think that was just the planning ahead part. I think was probably. One of the critical factors in having even some moderate success when we finally arrived, because I did have my fair share of just sitting around and waiting for the phone to ring the first month that we got here. And that was pretty nerve-wracking. I mean, you have a great big mortgage that you just signed, and, hey, nobody needs you.
$500,000.
Especially since the mortgage is in your name.
Yeah, pretty much.
And suddenly, your name and no job.
Uh-huh.
How'd you swing that, for one thing?
Well... I have fans.
Here's my projected figures. I can project figures.
Yeah.
My credit is fantabulous.
Not to brag or anything.
Yeah.
So is mine.
I have this. Isn't it a great feeling? I have this freakishly good credit, and it allows me to purchase $500,000 homes if I want to.
Well, why don't you come out here and pick us up a couple? Would you?
What about exotic animals?
Exotic animals, like
some tigers.
Well,
and stuff.
You know, we have the peacocks, and we don't even have a garage. Oh, never mind. We we have a dog, and he protects the household while we're away, most of the time.
Plus, you could moonlight as like Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting to learn Spanish though. That's one of the perks of living where we live. Is there are
you're very close to Mexico? I just don't get it.
Well, apparently, Maryland, our mailing address is Silver Spring, Maryland. We're just outside of the district. And apparently Maryland State is a hotbed for illegal aliens to come because the process by which you get a driver's license is different. And the
they just pass them out on the street corner? Or?
Well,
one in every glove box.
You know what? I think it probably was just that easy because it took me about 7 tries going back to the DMV or whatever they call it here to get a license, registration, and new plates. Okay, so it was a huge time commitment, a huge money commitment, and yet every single time I went over there and they would give me a different reason why I couldn't get my whatever it was I was looking for that day, there was always some person who did not know how to speak English, who had documents that were laminated in a plastic bag that were falling apart. I mean, clearly documents that...
Fake.
Yeah, could have been fake. They could have been forged. I mean, clearly the DMV isn't going to trace back these documents to, like, Guadalajara, you know, 50 years ago to see if you went to elementary school there. But yet those people got their stuff before I did. And this state is such a big draw for foreigners.
It is a known fact, though, that you are significantly more likely to be a terrorist than them.
Yeah, I know. I just have that shifty look about me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you
kids,
know what?
You just have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we'd go out to sushi, how they'd look at her like, you're going to blow up our place, aren't you?
Yep.
Well,
that's why they got good service.
That's right. They're afraid of her.
Well, you know what? I have been told since I've moved.
You have free appetizer. You don't kill us today.
You remember how I always used to ask you guys to go to Jack Quinn's and nobody would ever come until after I left, and then I heard on the podcast, hey, we went to Jack Quinn's for lunch.
Yeah?
Yeah. I caught that, by the way. Thanks very much.
I don't remember you ever asking to go to Jack Quinn's.
Yeah, it was always sushi.
You're full of shit. We used to go there all the time, and I used to say to you guys, hey, we're going to Jack Quinn's. You guys want to go? Oh,
well, that was for happy hours. That was like when it was impossible to find parking. We now have a surrogate Kathy at work. Jennifer, who we sometimes go to lunch with, and she just desperately wanted to go to Jack Quinn's to get some stupid bookmaker sandwich. It's like a French dip, and so we caved in. It wasn't that we didn't want to go to Jack Quinn's with you. It's that she stuck a gun to her head.
Yeah. They feared Jennifer more than they feared you, Kathy.
Oh, really? Yeah.
She is bigger than you. But then again, most things aren't they? You're so tiny.
Derek, I'm shooting you death rays. I know.
You just come out and kick his ass, Kathy.
Oh, I miss you guys. I just miss it so much. But no, I heard that. I caught that however many weeks ago that was, and you were all explaining what you had and blah, blah. It was so much fun.
Blah,
and,
blah.
Yeah. It was a slap in the face. Thank you very much.
Aw. Well, now, and you've said that you actually listen to these goofy little podcasts on your iPod on the train into work. Is that what you were telling us?
Yeah. I haven't ridden the train in a number of weeks, but there was about a month period a couple weeks back where I was going into Alexandria, Virginia every day. To do some work for a nonprofit, a company that does exclusively nonprofit. And the commute was just obscene. It took about an hour and a half in each direction. And what I need to do in order to ride the train is, first of all, drive to the train station, which is a good 20 minutes. And then you're switching lines and, you know, doing the whole commute. It's hustle and bustle in the purest sense of the word. And it really takes a lot of time. And a lot of foot power, but just to kind of burn some time so that I'm not listening to the happy sounds of the commuter train, I would put your podcast on and just listen to the familiar sounds and just enjoy the conversation, all my friends talking, and maybe not miss everybody so much.
Aww.
Yeah. It was like the sounds of the womb from the happier time.
And soon you'll be able to listen to yourself.
I guess.
So when people ask, what are you listening to? Oh, I'm just listening to myself talk.
Well, you should know
and
that.
And then look at you funny.
When we were making the trip down to South Carolina, down to Charleston for Thanksgiving, I had just downloaded that very morning your Thanksgiving cast. And Chad was behind. We both, in a typical week, we'll both be listening at some point, but he was behind a couple weeks, and so we listened to you guys talking for probably 2.5 hours on the way down. And after a while, I just couldn't take it anymore. I had to turn it off.
Well, you know, and that actually, that's how it is at work. Most people can only stand me for so long, and Colin, too, and then they just have to say, please shut up. Please, God, shut up.
I get that at least twice a day.
At least twice a day. Colin just doesn't stop talking. That's his problem.
Yeah. Boy, I miss those days. You know, it's funny. Just the conversations that we used to have, I miss that so much. I'm in an assignment right now that's going to last for about 6 weeks. And this is in Bethesda in a big financial firm. And this place actually trades stock. They're like a brokering company.
They're like, honest to God, no kidding around business.
Yeah. Well, I go into this place and they'll talk to me for maybe 3 minutes a day. And the rest of the time they ignore me. And they, I think that's one of the things that goes along with being a true freelance that goes from place to place and doesn't really have a chance to build much of a rapport with anybody is you're the extra body, you know, you're the disposable temp person. And so nobody really invests a lot of time in getting to know you. And so I'm just,
you're a ghost.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm this extra face that sits in the computer, you know, 20 feet away that nobody wants to talk to, which is, you know.
Got the plague. Nobody to gossip with.
But, it takes me back to the to the days where we were all working together and, you know, we'd have conversations like this all day long. And, you know, once in a while we'd do fun commercials like Value Ho and, you know, Hot Dog Man and all that.
Hot Dog.
And, you know, there were a couple of commercials. There were a couple of commercials that your husband had come up with ideas for that we never actually did we?
I didn't think we were allowed to talk about that, though.
Well, we're not because the school teacher's in the room. And I felt that she might find the idea slightly offensive. But why don't you run it by her and see what she thinks?
When do I not find you not offensive every day of my life?
Oh. Well, Kathy, here's your chance. You got about a minute to pitch the commercial to the school teacher.
No, I don't think I'm doing it.
Am I going to do it?
I see how it... Okay, well, see, that's how bad it is. She doesn't even want to bring it up.
I actually want you guys to want to come to my house to visit at some point. And if we go here, I mean, this is my husband's idea. Why do I have to explain it? We'll get him on sometime, and he can do it.
That's right. We'll have to have Chad on, and he can explain exactly what his grand vision was.
I thought you told me bits and pieces of this, but you didn't go into detail.
Well, that's usually how I talk all the time.
No,
just in snippets.
Yeah, you talk out of your ass most of the time.
See, I defend the idea. I defended the idea as much as I'm going to.
That's it.
I went up to bat for it a bunch of times with you, and it just kind of died a slow and painful death. And
just never happened.
I've turned page on it. If you want to go ahead, go ahead. But...
So sadly, we'll have to leave it right there at that nebulous point. I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. You've been listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. With us, as always, Colin Burton from FizzlingPop.com.
Goodbye, everybody.
Heather, my sister from Matted Spam, was in the room.
Bye-bye.
My wife, Heather.
Bye, Kathy. Come for sushi.
And a very, very special guest on the telephones today, Kathy Gilheppel from the nation's capital.
Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for joining us today, and thank you all guys out there for listening. And I'm sure, actually, with all the people in the room and Kathy on the phone, we might have cut our listenership in half because everybody's here. But anyway, thanks for joining us. We'll see you back again next Wednesday.